popping up the champagne. Pop. It's my house, come on, turn it up. Hear a knock on the door and the night begins.
Welcome back, NHL Network Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 91. Russ Cohen, Gord Stellick with you. Russ Cohen, co-host of Hockey Prospects Radio on these airwaves this weekend. Joining us, Russ, thanks very much. I know we had to move you back an hour, but it is one of your Philadelphia brethren, Bob Clark, that we had to shuffle for. So appreciate your diligence.
No problem. The 10-year-old Russ Cohen would have been mad, but I'm fine with it. Back then, I wasn't a big fan of Bobby. He used to beat my team a lot. But no, Bobby's a great guy.
Well, you know, he was candid. We asked about Eric Lindros. You know, he was two things I found interesting. One, he's not going to let it. Well, it's his opinion that he felt that the relationship with the parents was a problem when the dust settled. And he said Eric probably thinks differently. But he said, you know, John LeClair meant a lot to Eric Lindros, and Eric Lindros meant a lot to John LeClair. And that's something that, you know, we know they played together, but it was interesting insight about those two guys.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, LeClair was going to be a really good player, but he really needed that other guy. Like, you know, we always hear the phrase for NBA, he needed to be the Robin to the Batman, and he really was. And it made a big difference. In the end, LeClair paid a big price being in the crease all the time and just getting hammered, and it probably shortened his career a bit. But, you know, those two together were magic. I mean, they caused a lot of problems and a lot of headaches for a lot of opposing teams.
Well, we mentioned the two NHL teams you chiefly covered, the New York Rangers and the Philadelphia Flyers. I mean, he had a much briefer time with the New York Rangers than the Flyers. I don't know how personally you would have interacted or not, but just in general, how do you look at the, especially in Philadelphia, the Eric Lindros wild and crazy roller coaster ride at times, both on the ice and off the ice?
Well, actually, I covered almost all of his games with the New York Rangers, and it was interesting because he was a different guy at that point. I was at the press conference where they announced, you know, he was going to be a Ranger, and they had him on the podium, and they had his family there, and I spoke to Carl, and I spoke to Brett, and it was an interesting day because I realized at that point, because at that point for Sportsology, we had somebody else covering the Flyers, and I was covering the Rangers, and I realized, okay, he's matured. Like, some of these things that went on, they're probably not going to go on here. And they didn't. And he was a real leader with the Rangers. He played great. He had like 73 points in his first year, but then all of a sudden the concussions started creeping back in, and it definitely robbed him of just his offensive value. But he was really good. He was good in the room. He and Mike Richter got along great. He and most of the guys got along great. I didn't see any problems with him, but I also saw that he still had that drive to be great. And it really wasn't his fault that, you know, he couldn't play a longer career and be better. Concussions robbed that from him because he was as dominant player as I've ever seen in my lifetime for a short period of time in the NHL.
And, you know, Russ, you bring up a great point about the concussions. And maybe because there was elements of acrimony now rearing their ugly heads within him and the Flyers' relationship. Like Sidney Crosby's concussion issues, he got treated with kid gloves. It was enlightening. It was educational. Where Eric was still maybe last of the old guard, like, suck it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, there was certainly, I would say that that's accurate. And there was just nobody really knew. So it was sort of unfair. Now he's a champion of the cause, and he really has done a lot to promote what goes on with concussions. And he talks about it. He talked about it on air again yesterday. And so I really applaud him in the fact that he's trying to help others. And, of course, Brett really didn't even have a career because of concussions, and that's a shame because he would have been a heck of a player, too, for the Islanders.
You know, I'm not sure of our difference in ages, but, again, it's Philadelphia-centric a bit. And, you know, Pat Quinn, who I got to know more Vancouver and especially in Toronto days, but, boy, he coached that Philadelphia Flyer team that made no sense, that never lost.
I know. Pat Quinn was just a great coach in general. Like, when I finally started to cover teams, I would always catch Pat Quinn press conferences, and that was with Toronto, but I watched him when he was with the Flyers. And he was just a joy to listen to because he wasn't like your cliche, stale sort of press conference. I'm only going to answer what you ask me, and I'm not going to – he used to expound on things. He would just be – mostly friendly and warm. Once in a while, he would quip back with the media, but in a fun way. I really miss him because I just felt like he was a guy that players really loved. And remember, when he started coaching kids, they respected him too and won for him. And everybody was thinking that he was too old at the time. So he really knew how to bridge the gap of all age groups.
We're talking to Russ Cohen, co-host of Hockey Prospects Radio, so on these very airwaves this weekend on SiriusXM NHL Network Radio. So as we look back, it's interesting. You talk about young up-and-comers, and Sergei Makarov is kind of the last of that, bridging the Soviet Union to a freer Russia society. That NHL prospects were 31 years old when they came over. The KLM line was dominant over in Europe. Igor Larionov had a great career here. Vladimir Krutov was overweight and never had much of a career. And Makarov is kind of the forgotten guy.
He is kind of the forgotten guy. And he really did. He was a goal guy. I mean, he was a guy that put up numbers. He is a forgotten guy. It's interesting how he's not forgotten because of the rule. Because anytime anybody gets sort of frustrated, like I saw that some fans were frustrated by Panarin last year, and then Sergei Makarov's name comes up. I'm not sure he wants his name to be brought up that way. But no, he was really a good player. It wasn't his fault that he only, you know, could come over when he could come over.
And, you know, last one is Rogi Vachon. And just kind of interesting, it's kind of a vaguer memory. Some Stanley, you know, some great Montreal Canadian teams, then a team that, like Marcel Dion, somewhat anonymity out in Los Angeles, and then a pretty solid career as an executive.
No, he was tremendous. I was a big fan of Rogi. I always liked the stash. There was a lot of, you know, he seemed to have a lot of paparazzi following him around back in the day. I would always see pictures of Rogi in different magazines. I would watch him and just appreciate his style. Knew he wasn't on the greatest team, but he was a battler, and he really was a great goalie, and I can't believe it even took this long. Because if he were on any other team, like he won cup rings with Montreal, right? But then he was with the Kings, and they were never going to win a Stanley Cup. But yet, he made them at least a contender at times, and that was tremendous.
Yeah, the mustache and the big cigar is what I remember post-NHL career as far as Rogi Vachon went. Just a quick one here, like, you know, see Barzal going back down from the New York Islanders, and is that one that you think about it and a miss on not keeping P.A. Parenteau, who's getting decent goals with New Jersey, and kind of putting all your eggs in a basket a little bit too early?
Well, I think it's two swings and misses. I think it's one with the Parenteau, and then two with the, you only played him two games, and after that day that he had three minors, he never played again and sat in the press box for a while. Now, I'm sure he was happy he got paid an NHL salary, but you never want to put a kid on ice like that. I think it's all a function of just Jack Capuano playing guys that he knows. He knows the heat's up, and I think that also came into play. And sometimes prospects, you know, get caught in the middle. So it's the best thing that could happen to him now that he did go back, because if he wasn't going to play regularly, it's not good. And then, Parenteau is funny. Nobody wants him, but then all of a sudden he scores for everybody. And in this NHL, he's a valuable player. Like, he can win games in the shootout. He can win games with his speed. He will always chip in goals. Is he good in his own end? No, he's not great in his own end, but he does everything else. And it's just funny how he just switches team to team to team.
Hey, Russ, always appreciate it. I'll talk to you next week. Thanks for being so accommodating.
Hey, okay, Gord. Take care.